welcome to episode 259 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to find a comfortable sleeping position on an international flight. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're catching up with each other. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, Until Proven Guilty, Thirst for Justice, and Taskmaster, The Escape Room. Then, we chit-chat about Ambie's trip to Taiwan and what else we've been up to lately. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal. One quick announcement before we hop into the main episode, and that is that currently, BoardGameGeek.com has nomination, well, you can submit people to be nominated for the Golden Geek Awards, and that includes both board games from 2025 and also podcasts. And I don't know if you realize this, listeners, but we're a podcast, and we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary. And what a fun 10-year anniversary gift to us would it be if we actually not only got nominated for a Golden Geek Award, but somehow won one? Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, so you should do it just for the fun.
Yes, this is one of those things where we have to like solicit you all twice, because first you have to like submit us to be nominated. And then once the nominees are announced, if we are lucky enough to be chosen, then we have to be like, okay, now go vote for us. So apologies for bugging you again, hopefully twice. We've been nominated a decent number of times in the past, although I feel like it's been a little while. So Everybody head to BoardGameGeek.com, look for the Golden Geek information, and submit all your favorite games and podcasts from last year to be nominated. Not just us, but, you know, all of the friends.
I got a review copy of Until Proven Guilty, Thirst for Justice somewhat recently. I actually haven't played any games in the last 2 weeks because I've been in Taiwan, but I played this right before we left. So, Until Proven Guilty, Thirst for Justice is designed by Enrico Procacci, published by DV Games. This is a series of games, Until Proven Guilty. It looks like there's one other, The Starry Sky Necklace, which was published in 2024, and this Thirst for Justice is 2025, but I have not played the other one. This is a one-time playthrough mystery game, but this is a one-time playthrough, like, murder mystery case-solving type game. What I think it's most like is a Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, because...
Oh, nice!
Like, the theme is you're a lawyer, up-and-coming lawyer or something, a defense attorney, and you're trying to prove your client innocent. Or that was the premise for this one. So it feels kind of like Ace Attorney. I mean, there's no like objection yelling or anything, but you can, because you're playing cooperatively and you can like add as much dramatic flair as you want, I guess.
What is a good court case without a dramatic objection, right?
Yeah. So the game comes with like different envelopes and different cards, which I'm not going to show you because this is a one-time playthrough. It's one case in the game. And so like, that's spoilers. The game took us an hour and 15 minutes about for the whole game. One time playthrough. Like, you can't play it again, but it is like, that's not destroyed. So you can play it with other people. Other people can play it. You can pass it on easily. But it's basically a bunch of cards. So like, there's a deck of trial cards, I think, and you flip them over. It's going to say something. And then after each card, you want to present evidence. So it's going to be like, I'm going to make up a case for this. Like, oh, there's blood on the floor or something. I'm not good at making up cases, but, and then you're like, oh, but did you notice the blood on the chair too? So you had to like present the evidence of the blood on the chair to proceed. And then if you get it right, there's an app that goes with the case. So you're entering down the number of the card that you're presenting for the evidence. If you get it right, it'll be like, yeah, you got it right. And you can flip over the card and read along. If you get it wrong, then it's like, try another one. Until you get it right, and then you flip over the card and continue. So you're going to eventually get through the whole case. But there is a scoring system. There's this 3D, it's like a pop-up card kind of, but it's a fold-out jury stand, and then there's going to be 12 jurors that go in here. And they start out with 6 of them towards the innocent side and 6 of them on the guilty side. And so like, if you get it right, then you're going to flip a guilty juror over to the innocent side. And then when you get it wrong, it'll tell you like, flip an innocent one over to the guilty side. And so depending on how many at the end you have on the innocent side, you get a score. Yeah.
That's
so...
a pretty clever way of like making it both thematic and a scoring system. I like that.
Yeah. Although like with the scoring system, we did really well in the first part. And so we got all 12 and it's like, oh, flip another one over to the innocent side. But we already had 12, so we were maxed out. And then we got to a part where we knew what we wanted to do. But just like in Phoenix, right? There's like, you know what it is, but you have to present like a specific thing that they are thinking of. And there were multiple things that we thought connected to it. And so we're like, okay, like it's this, but which card do we present? And so it took us like four turns. And then so we had to turn a bunch of it over to the guilty side. And that was like the second to last one. So even though we were way above the max before that, we ended up getting not like good. So that was a little bit annoying, but we just, I mean, at the end you can read all of the results for the scores anyway. So it doesn't really matter what your score is, but I liked the case and we did figure it out. But just like with Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, with Until Proven Guilty, Thirst for Justice, there are like specific things. If you get frustrated with like the scoring and having to pick a specific card that they're thinking of, yeah, that this has that frustration as well. But I think it did feel the closest to a Phoenix Wright game of a board game that I've played. It doesn't have like any of those little like puzzles in the finding evidence part. It's just like you find the evidence and you read through these cards. But it, like the courtroom part, it felt kind of like that, especially if you like play it up more. So I enjoyed Until Proven Guilty, Thirst for Justice.
Awesome. I know I mentioned it on some episode recently, but it came in the mail, the Taskmaster, the Escape Room game, which as soon as they announced it, I literally, like, the day they went on sale, I ordered it directly from the Taskmaster website. And I was a little bummed, I think I mentioned this before, because they are also releasing a new edition of the Taskmaster board game. Mm-hmm. And even though I already own the Taskmaster board game, they specifically said that this new edition had new content, so I wanted to buy it too. But they had the two items bundled on their website and the bundle was sold out almost immediately. So then I had to make a decision of, like, weirdly, the individual items were still in stock.
Yeah.
So, it was literally over $25. Yeah. For each item to ship. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I cannot pay $50 in shipping from the UK. Like, that's nonsensical. Especially, I don't even have people to play the Taskmaster board game with most of the time, like here at my house. So needless to say, I ordered only the Escape Room game, and it arrived and I have now gotten to play it. So the Taskmaster, the Escape Room game, released in 2026, designed by James Smith II and published by Ginger Fox Games. They are a publisher I am not super familiar with outside of this, but I will say, spoiler, based on my experience with this game, I might look and see what else Ginger Fox Games has put out, because this is a really lovely escape room in a box experience. Mm. And what's neat about it is, theoretically, you do not have to have any experience or knowledge about Taskmaster, the TV show, to be able to play this. All information that you need to solve everything is included in the box. And kind of unlike the Advent calendar, which had like lots and lots of in-jokes and references, this game does not, I think, lean as heavily into the references. So I think it's a little more approachable for somebody who's maybe not as like deep in the lore of Taskmaster. But the coolest thing about it, which I brought to show you all, and I will say there are no spoilers in what I'm about to show you, I actually got to construct the Taskmaster house in 3D form, like in that little box where all these pieces, and you get to literally construct, and it's like, obviously, you know, blueprint wise, like it's not exactly the Taskmaster house from the UK, but it has all of the main areas that you would expect to be there for the most part, and like things that are familiar from the show. But also, like, the whole thing is just covered in puzzly looking things. So, like, me showing this to you, like, there's nothing I could even say is a spoiler, because there's symbols and letters everywhere. And they all might relate to puzzles that you'll do, or might not at all. And I think that's neat. There's a lot of things here that never play in, like, that don't get referenced at all during the course of the game. But yes, the goal of this game is to escape from the Taskmaster grounds, technically, not the house itself. And while the main house is the big part of it, there are other pieces and bits in the box that I'm not showing to you that would be spoilery. And I would say the puzzle difficulty on this one was right where I personally enjoy it. Like, most of them were relatively easy to solve without any help. A couple of them were on the slightly more difficult side, or there were a couple that had physical component manipulation aspects that were a little fiddly, like you have to place things in an exact place and then look through a thing kind of stuff, you know, like that kind of stuff was here. And there were a couple times where I basically was like, I think I did this right. And I was able to just look up the answer to make sure, like, I was like, is this right? And it was kind of, but just like, since there were little bits that were kind of slightly fiddly, I was missing a couple of details. But to that end, the game comes with, there is a browser-based app, so not a thing you have to download, that helps facilitate the game if you want, but that's also not necessary. But if you do that through the browser-based thing, there's the hint system, there's the solutions to the puzzles if you need them, if the hints aren't enough, and there's a way to submit your answers for each puzzle in the app as well. The way puzzles are constructed in this game, there are is a deck of cards that have your tasks on them that you must complete to escape the house, and then there's an answer deck. I didn't even touch the answer deck because I used the web-based app. So every time I solved a puzzle and it was asking me what symbol or letter, you know, did I find as a result of that puzzle, I was able to just tap it in the app. And there were little videos from little Alex Horn for all over the place in this thing. Like, when I would finish some puzzles, or even like the hint system had videos from him there as well, which I thought was really neat. So people who are fans of Taskmaster like I am, this is a no-brainer. It's a really good escape room game. It's dripping with Taskmaster-ness all over the place. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I hope that they make more, honestly. Not just, well, I hope Taskmaster makes more games. I hope Ginger Fox Games makes more escape rooms like this, if they haven't already. I'm very pleased. If you're not watching our podcast on YouTube right now, you've missed out on seeing the glory that is my miniature Taskmaster house. Also, the whole thing is resettable and replayable. There's things that you can write on during the game, but I chose not to because I am probably going to ask Kathy if she would like to borrow this and play it, and then I'll get it back from her, because I genuinely am going to just leave this little Taskmaster house like constructed and like put it on my shelf somewhere, because I really like the way it looks. I think it's neat. So yeah, that is Taskmaster the Escape Room. I'm very happy with it. It's everything I wanted it to be.
Yay. Did you play it solo or
two? Yes, I played this one solo. So yeah, Ambi, I missed two episodes in a row, which has never happened before. And it's funny because it's not the sickest I've probably ever been since we've known each other, but I was pretty sick.
Yeah.
It was not fun.
You weren't actually sick for the two episode period, because like part of it is that we had to record one of them way ahead of time. So,
that's true.
Because I went on vacation to Taiwan, so like we need to record that one 2 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah, the timing was not ideal, and I was so bummed because like I was the one that had like set up the interview with Heather, and I was really excited to talk to her, but you did an excellent job. I really loved listening to it, and obviously getting to hear you and the boys hang out is always fun, so really like not too horrible. But yeah, I unfortunately, my husband, one of his coworkers, brought some illness into their office, and then my husband brought it home to me the week before Dice Tower West, and I was very sick for a good like week and a half, so I did not get to attend Dice Tower West for the first time in its existence ever. Like, this was the 12th year of the convention, and it's the first time I've ever missed it, so kind of a bummer. But you know, there are other board game conventions. I was just really sad that like I didn't get to hang out with you and all of our other board game friends that like I don't see the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's sad. But we might come to Vegas sometime. We need to plan that. Like outside of the
convention.
That would
be super fun. Uh-huh. And so, you know, you got to have all the fun at Dice Tower West. And then you went to Taiwan, which I cannot, like, I'm so jealous. I love your little adventures. And I'd love to hear kind of a little bit about what was going on in Taiwan.
Well, I did a lot of, like, non-board game stuff there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is typically what people do on vacation. You're like, it wasn't entirely board games. Yeah, okay.
Well, like, previously, I went to Taiwan a couple years ago, and I tried to look for board game stores. And so I have a whole vlog about, like, my attempts to look for board game stores there. And it was difficult.
It was not great.
Yeah. But I found one at the end, finally. But this year, we stayed near BG Hut. BG Hut is the board game store that people mention when you say you're going to Taipei. And even, like, it was one that other people had met. Like, we had gone to a different store, and they said, oh, try BG Hut, because they have everything. So we lived, like, 10-minute walk from there. So the first night, we went there. We went to BG Hut. Toby and I did. Yeah, so we went there for a little bit. This is BG Hut. So yeah, they have a lot of games. I will probably be showing these pictures on a vlog, but they had,
so,
like,
everybody stay tuned to our YouTube channel for that.
Yeah, I'll need to edit it and stuff, a lot of stuff. But they had an area for playing games, and they have this, like, art on the wall that looks kind of like a family tree of board games, but I'm not sure if there's any, like,
rhyme or reason to
rhyme or reason to the board
the connection.
Yeah, any connection, because it just looked like,
maybe it's just kind of like a board game tree, like, yeah, literally like board games growing on a tree.
Yeah, not like a family tree. Yeah,
yeah,
because I don't think like Ice Cool and Terra Mystica are like related that much.
Yeah, I don't think they have that much in common either.
But yeah, and then they had this other like Carcassonne art on the wall, which is cool.
Ooh, yeah.
I bought Pokemon Splendor.
Ooh.
So this is the Chinese edition. Apparently there's a Chinese edition that was published like a year after the Korean edition. But Pokemon Splendor is a Korean retheme of Splendor that has slightly different rules. I think instead of nobles, there are Pokemon evolutions. So Splendor, if you don't know, is like a engine building game where you're like trading in gems to get cards, and those cards have gems on them, so then you get more gems and like can get better cards, and you're trying to get points. And then there's these nobles where if you have like so many gems, you can automatically get a noble at the end. But here you're trading in Pokeballs to catch Pokemon, and then the Pokemon have certain evolutions on them, I guess. We haven't played it yet, but you can like automatically evolve a Pokemon into its evolution, and the Pokemon is going to be another card instead of like having a separate bonus noble things.
Okay, that's interesting.
And then I think Splendor went to like 15 points, but this one goes to 18 points. Those, I think, are the main differences. It came with two rule books, both in Chinese, so I don't know why.
Like they're the same?
Yeah.
I imagine that was just probably a misprint. Yeah. Like one of them was supposed to be English.
Yeah.
Or a different language, potentially.
It also comes with like a checklist of Pokemon. So you can like check off which Pokemon you've gotten in the games, aww, I guess. So you can like catch them all. Oh, it comes with like one holographic card.
Oh, like a Pokemon card, yeah, comes in the game.
It's not a Pokemon card. It's like the Splendor card that you replace one of the Splendor cards with.
Oh, I see.
And I heard that they're like each one comes with a different one, so you can collect Pokemon Splendors, I guess.
Oh my gosh. I've been playing Pokemon Pokopia on my Switch, and it's funny because like I'm the least traditional Pokemon gamer in the world, because the only two Pokemon games I've ever played are Pokemon Go and Pokopia. Like the least traditional Pokemon games, or like I guess Pokemon Sleep would technically probably be more a little weirder. But yeah, I love Pokopia so much.
Yeah, like, I've heard good things about that.
It's basically Animal Crossing, but with Pokemon. And some of the mechanics are even better than Animal Crossing. So yeah, it's been a delight. And I'm really glad that you were able to get that copy of Splendor. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't have like actual Splendor. So this was on my list last time I went to Taiwan, but I didn't find it there. And that's actually when people had said, oh, try BG Hut. And so, but like I never made it because it wasn't open when I was in the area. So I was very excited. Yeah, so like we went to the board game store the first day and then didn't really go to any more board game stores. But we went to a lot of night markets, did a lot of eating, did some sightseeing stuff. We went to Tainan, which is in the southern Taiwan, this year, which we didn't do last time. There was a museum we went to that had a board game exhibit. So that's another board game thing, which is my vlog is going to be mainly about it. But yeah, like it had a lot of old board games from Taiwan. And so like I took all these pictures, which I will have in my vlog. I didn't have time to like look at here. So a lot of them were just like boards. It looked like on paper. And so I'm not sure like how the games play, or these are like spiral boards and I don't know what the game is. But they have little placards that say what it is in Chinese. So I'm going to have to like Google translate that. My kids were like playing around and they wanted to leave after some time. So like I took pictures of everything, but like by the time I took pictures of everything, my kids were done and were like, okay, let's go. And so, so I didn't have time to like read through everything. So hopefully my pictures are good enough to be able to Google translate this stuff. And I'm going to try to like put that in the vlog when I show the pictures. But like one of them, there was a section with like Western games. And so this is Monopoly, the Taiwanese version of Monopoly.
That looks very unique.
And I don't know what this one was. I forgot what it translated to, but it wasn't something that I recognized. And then
like that's not like a Parcheesi board or anything. It's
and then this was like this one was the Game of Life.
Oh yeah, okay.
So yeah, there's a spinner and the Monopoly. You can see it here, the Monopoly houses and money. So those were like the Western games, and then they had like section on war, and the section on animals, and then they just had a section with like some games set up, like to make it look like they're playing games, and there was a Mahjong tiles, and my kids were like, oh, it's Mahjong!
So, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, that was cool. Yeah, it was cool that like the exhibit was, it was like a special exhibition that's only for like a month or something. So
the fact that you guys just happened to be there when it was going on,
maybe a couple months. Yeah, so I was very excited about that.
That's really neat. What was the boys' favorite part of going to Taiwan?
They filled out a travel, what's it called,
journal?
Is that one of them? Yeah, I think it's travel journal. Just like, okay. So I think we showed theirs at on the Dice Tower West podcast. They had a little travel journal. So they filled out like the same thing. And one of them put spending time with his family.
Oh my goodness.
He might have gotten that idea from mine last time. Because that's what I put on the Dice Tower West one.
I mean, the thing though is they're like, you know, as a kid, sometimes it's hard to think of things. And he probably was like, oh yeah, that was one of my favorite part, like getting to spend time with my family. And that's freaking adorable.
Yeah. And then the other one put the giant Buddha and the cabbage jade stone thing. So we went to a museum, the National Palace Museum in Taipei. There's these stone statues. There was one like carving. It's like this big. It's not very big, but it looks like a pork, like a pork belly type thing. It's okay. It's like a rock that's carved to look like a pork belly. And it's like the colors of it too. It looks really realistic. And then there's another few like jade carvings that are also kind of small, but they look like cabbage with like a little cricket on it. And so I guess that was one of his favorite parts, seeing the cabbage.
With the little cabbage. Little carved cabbage.
Uh-huh. And then giant Buddha. There was a giant Buddha at the museum, but then we went to another bigger giant Buddha on the way to Tainan. There was like a huge, huge Buddha, and we climbed up inside it. It was like 4 stories tall or something inside the Buddha. Yeah, so that was cool.
That's really neat.
They also liked karaoke in the car, which now I'm looking up, like I need to get microphones to be able to do karaoke in my car. because we got some private vans because like Toby's parents were there, and Toby and me and the kids. So we got like a van for us sometimes to drive down to Tainan, and there was karaoke. They had like
in the van, like it's like built in.
Yeah. And then like another time we got like a bigger taxi and they had karaoke in it too.
Wait, okay, hold on. I live in Las Vegas. Do you know, like, I feel like this is, you've just given me a money-making opportunity. Like, karaoke cabs in Vegas would absolutely kill. Like, people would lose their minds if you had, like, the karaoke cab in Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't want to drive a cab, but I maybe can buy one and make somebody else drive it.
Yeah, so, like, the fancy van, the first first one that had it was like, it had a screen and it had like a whole karaoke book and stuff. All of the songs were like ones we didn't know and Chinese ones. There were a couple of foreign ones that, but my kids didn't know them. I think, and it was able to search YouTube. We figured out how to make it search YouTube, but then the mics weren't working. Yeah. But then the other one was like, the cab driver just said that like his daughter likes singing karaoke. So he got these mics and put it in like, and so like the mics connected to the speakers, but we just like looked up song on our phone and played it into the mic. Like I held the phone up to the microphone. I'm not sure if like he had any system for, or if he just like plays music on his phone, because he also had like the radio or like his phone playing music, but we were just doing it. Yeah,
that's so fun though.
Yeah, and I've been looking up, I want to try to figure out karaoke. I think there are some, I've been finding some, but I just don't know what would work with my car specifically. Like my car doesn't have an audio, a lot of them have like you have to plug it into the audio jack, and my car doesn't have that. So
I mean, so when we do karaoke here at the house, mm-hmm. I actually have a little, like it's a Bluetooth speaker and two microphones that connect to it wirelessly. Yeah. And I got it off the TikTok shop crazy cheap, and it works really well. Uh-huh. Like it is awesome, and you can, it's the Bluetooth speaker can play the music from your phone, uh-huh. and then the microphones connect to the speaker as well, so theoretically it doesn't, like wouldn't have to connect to your car necessarily.
That's
like,
true,
you could just have the speaker be separate. That's still an option.
I've seen stuff like that, but yeah, I do want it to connect to the car speakers. But then I've seen like one of the comments, it was saying that like you can get a audio port into Bluetooth FM transmitter kind of thing. So then you could plug it into that and then have it go through the FM. And there are some that are just like go through the FM transmitter, I think, as well. So yeah, I'm not sure which ones to get. Or,
well, all the kids are going to want to go home in the Valdez's car after you get this set up, because y'all are going to have the karaoke car. So.
My car doesn't fit that many people, though. It's just like a sedan, right? Like,
yeah, whatever. They can take turns. Fun. Well, I was super bummed, obviously, not getting to play games at Dice Tower West, but thankfully, not too long after the convention, a couple of my buddies started coming over so we could start Clank Legacy 2, so we are a couple games into that already, and we're going to be continuing that over the next few months, probably. And only two games in, like, obviously, no formal review at that point, but just based on the first couple of games, I'm already really enjoying it, and I can see they've made some meaningful differences from the first one in good ways. Specifically, this is not a spoiler, but like in Clank Legacy 2, each character has their own little booklet that has different story beats in it. And so sometimes throughout the course of the game, it will tell a certain character to read a certain passage from their book. And so the story feels a little bit more kind of interactive, a little bit more like we're like not just a singular group of people, it's we're individuals that have a little bit more unique backstories to them, which I'm really enjoying. And it actually is kind of reminiscent for me of Artisans of Splendonvale in that way, like having the different characters with different beats. It's still mostly, it's very similar to Clank Legacy 1. Like mechanically, there aren't a lot of changes yet. But again, we're only a couple games in. So I'm glad we got to start playing that, because I was like, I need board game time. I was so sad. Like I didn't get a chance to recharge my social battery with all of my friends. And oh, and to anybody who is listening to this who reached out, like I had a lot of people message me and say that they missed seeing me at the con, which like both made me feel super loved and also sad, because I was like, I know I wanted to see all these people too, but I was not about to give y'all the illness that I had. That would not have been fun for anybody.
Next time.
Yep.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. The pledge manager for Vampire Survivors of the Board Game is still open if you haven't secured your copy of the newest game from renowned designer Emerson Matsuuchi. Visit vampiresurvivorstheboardgame.com to learn more. And don't forget, the Blitzketeers get 10% off all games, accessories, and exclusives at grayfoxgames.com when you use the code BLITZ2026 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider, or by getting some official Blitz swag at merch.boardgameblitz.com. Want to just give us money and enjoy some unique perks? Check out our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, I don't want to play these games with fools. I just figure you all look quite cool. So can I play it with you? Bye, everyone.
Bye. Page and submit. Head to BoardGameGeek. Damn it.
Until proven guilty, thirst for vengeance. That's what it's called, right? Thirst for justice, not vengeance. Okay. You would not be the lawyer if you were doing thirst for vengeance. Okay.
I mean, there are some lawyers, maybe, but...
Yeah. My parents-in-law, Toby's parents were there.
Your in-laws.
My in-laws, yeah, that's what they're called. Okay. And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Shoot, it jumped. Okay. Okay. Don't touch it. Okay.
First, we discuss a couple of games we've played recently. Whoops.